Bible says Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth. And that's a phrase repeated about a dozen times in the Old Testament and New Testament. That was lived out centuries ago by a man named St. Patrick, went to Ireland to spread the good news that Jesus was Lord. And he had a real focus about Christ in heaven. And that gave purpose to everything he did, kind of set his path in a certain direction in life and really lived a fulfilling life. He said, honor Christ, worship Christ, serve Christ, love Christ, obey Christ. And probably as good as any believer, he noted that the message of the Bible was that God came to give to us the gift. The gift. And the gift would be Christ himself and the gift of heaven. I don't know if you've ever thought about heaven as a free gift, but that's the way the Lord thinks about heaven. Matter of fact, when God talks about you and I and the possibility that we would be in heaven, it talks about Jesus doing the work for that, and then Jesus offering us himself and the gift of heaven forever as something that he would provide. Okay, God the provider. And I think little Isabella Grace there, being a gift from God, gladly received by her parents, the gift of God's Son given to you and I. Oh, gladly received by any heart who would welcome him. And so to know that gift and to know that it's a free gift or it's not a gift at all, it's something God wouldn't offer you. There's a urban legend of a couple who were married a long time, over 70 years, and lived into their 90s. And their names were Elmer and Ethel. And Elmer and Ethel had a fulfilling life, but one day their life was over. As a matter of fact, they died the same day. And so they go to heaven through Christ, and the Lord showing them around heaven. And he says, oh, this is, look at these mansions. You know, they're huge, and this one is for you. And Elmer said, oh, I've seen big places on the earth, and I know how expensive they are. Good, but I can't possibly live in a mansion like this. I can't afford that. You know, I can't make the payments. I can't make the mortgage payments. And Jesus said, hey, I paid for this for you. This is a gift from me to you. And Elmer's overwhelmed by that. In fact, him and Ethel overwhelmed by the brilliance of Christ, most of all in heaven. But Jesus shows them around some more, and there's beautiful flowers, there's meadows. Ethel says, man, I can't believe it. I cannot accept this because this is all too fabulous for me, and I just feel so unworthy. Jesus said, hey, remember, I paid for this too, and this is for you. And as a daughter of mine, I am delighted to give this to you. Just like any good parent would be delighted to give a gift to their child. And so all of a sudden, Elmer stomps his foot in an angry manner, and Jesus says, Elmer, what's troubling you? And he said, oh, if it wasn't for Ethel and her bran muffins, we could have been here 10 years ago. Okay. For thinking about the future. Well, stick with the bran muffins, but look forward to the gift. Now, do you have the gift? As described there, that Christ would want to give you? Or is this life all there is for you? You know, is this what you're experiencing now? Is that just the point of your life? 90 years of blood, sweat, and tears, and then it's over. And then a big question mark at the end of that. And who knows, what in the world comes after that? Well, God sent his Son into the world so you might have some truth about the present and the future. In fact, the Bible offers you something better than not knowing. God's Word says God has put eternity in your hearts. Isn't that an amazing thing? He puts eternity in your hearts. A sense that maybe I should be with God now and all the time. Yeah, that wasn't something that came out of our 3.5-pound brains. That was something God provided for us when he created, you and I, and has a plan for our life. So the truth that God put eternity in our hearts, offers heaven as a gift through his Son, shows that today, tomorrow, and forever are very important to God. It's like every day is important for us growing up. Every day important to God between Him and us. And Jesus says some amazing things about heaven and being with Him now and forever. It's interesting, people's take on Jesus doesn't get a lot of good press nowadays. But even the skeptic has some respect for Christ. Even the skeptic. The skeptic will say, well, he seemed like a good man. He was a good teacher and an honest man. And he wasn't, you know, he just didn't blow a lot of hot air. He was saying something true about life and death, heaven and hell, relationships and friendships. Jesus was that kind of teacher. Okay. I mean, even if you're just looking at him from a distance. But Christ says this. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, if you believe in me, you have everlasting life. Now, could it be that through the person of Christ, God come as a man, we could know we're with God now and forever? Last week's message was about that. Now, Jesus said, whoever believes in me has crossed over from death to life. He will not be condemned. Man, I'm getting at the age where I get the postcards from our local funeral directors, you know. And they make plans, you know. Plan ahead. I say, I'm not ready to plan ahead with you yet. But I do plan ahead with God. I'll plan ahead with Him and say, when life is done, what next for us? And God wants us to know. Jesus can be standing there waiting for us. Billy Graham said that our last breath on earth is our first breath in heaven if we know Christ. It's just that God welcoming us to Himself, the home He made for us. And eternity given as a gift that starts right now. Did you know the more you think of heaven, the more effective and efficient you'll live here on the earth? Because there'll be a point to your life. There'll be a destination. You know, you won't just be a bunch of molecules bouncing around aimlessly. That might have been the way last week felt to you. But in God's perspective with you, it wasn't like that. He's saying, hey, come toward me. Trust me for now and the future. C.S. Lewis, a great writer, said, focus on heaven and you get earth also thrown in. The meek shall inherit the earth. But focus just on earth and you miss heaven and earth itself. Pascal is a brilliant mathematician. He said, the universal dissatisfaction within the human heart. You know, you get that antsiness no matter where you go. You could live in Hollywood or you could live in Irwin, or you could live, you know, in a very destitute part of the world, isolated part of India, whatever. The universal dissatisfaction in the human heart points to the truth that we were made for eternity and that human emptiness can only be filled by Christ Himself. Check that out to see if that speaks to your heart, any emptiness you have, filled only by Christ Himself. Billy Graham said, Heaven doesn't make life on earth less important. It makes a life on earth more important. Precious gift from Him. And it's not just older folk who think of heaven. When I first received Christ, I was a teenager, 16 years old. I mean, I didn't know my left hand from my right hand. I didn't know if I should hang out with, you know, Mary or Sue or what was going to happen. But when I thought of trusting Christ, I thought of heaven pretty much every day. Every day. And that didn't make me, you know, out to lunch in terms of how I treated life and people. It made me more aware, more in tune with others. There's two great books you ought to check out sometimes. One called Practicing the Presence of God, written by Brother Lawrence. Just seeing God in the everyday, in every raindrop, you know, in every sunny day, in every person we meet. And there's another guy who wrote a book later called Practicing the Presence of People. Practicing the Presence of People. And that's something that God can open your heart to. That all of a sudden the important things in life are the person right in front of you. He or she's important to God. Why not get in on that? You know. Make them important to you. Practice the presence of people. It's a reflection of the gift of heaven, where Christ will be center and other people will be a blessing. And so God wants you to receive heaven as a gift. We don't have the gift unless we receive the gift. Growing up, I don't know what it was, but when I would get a gift, I would say, no, don't give it to me, you know. My brothers would say, well, then give it to me. They were more open-hearted. And how about you with Christ? You know, would you take him? It's a gift that's not earned or deserved. And did you know you can know that you're going to heaven with a certainty? Well, that's an amazing thing. When I first heard that, my adrenaline level went from about 10 to about 100. You mean I can know for sure I'm going to be with God forever because of what Jesus did? Well, he does love us that much. The Apostle John writes about that in his letter. He writes the phrase, "We know," a bunch of times in his letter. If you took the Greek language and looked at the strength of it, you'd see that the Greek language says that, you know, we know about eternal life, that it means I absolutely know by evidence, by experience, and by relationship. It's something you sense in your own soul. When Isabella grows up, she'll say, I know, you know, mom and dad love me and treat me well. I know by evidence. They give me the food and the clean diaper. I know by experience, they're with me. And I know by relationship. And that's what the Lord desires between him and us. We can know that we know. And when it comes to heaven, Jesus doesn't want any ifs, ands, or maybes. He wants some assurance between him and us. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ. A couple things to keep in the back of our mind. Not because the church says so. Okay? The church is a group of people saved by God's gift too. The church can't possibly know the state of your soul. You know, any more than they can see how your digestive system's working this morning. Okay, God knows. He'll give you a gift from himself. Not because the clergy say so. Clergy are not infallible, although it is fun to pretend that way. Certain meetings. Some of you want us to be infallible. You like that. You want the Bible to be infallible. Okay. Not the people with the clay feet. And not because you say so that heaven is a gift. Because you can't know the health of your own soul. That's not yours to boast of. It's something that God would give you. And it's because Jesus said so, all authority on heaven and earth is given to him. And there's a story of a man who took a sailboat out. He wanted to get moving. So with all his strength, he hoists the sail. And he starts to blow on the sail. And blow as fervently as he could. And he didn't get very far, drifting around, somewhat like maybe your experience last week or with life itself. And then finally a wise sailor told him, hey, let the wind blow the sail. Let the God-given wind blow the sail. And the wind will take the boat safely home. Could you say, well, God, take me safely home with you. I don't want to be left wondering. I want to know, Jesus, is it true about you? You rose from the dead to give me eternal life. Get it settled with the Lord in you. Get it settled for you and your family and your friends so you could have influence. Told the illustration before, a man graduates from college, goes to see his favorite professor. And the professor says, what are you going to do next? Congratulations. And the student says, I want to get some more education and get a job. He said, that's a great plan. What then? He says, after my first job, I want to settle down into a long-term job, maybe get a family going. I mean, that's a blessing. The professor said, that's great. What then? And he says, by the time I'm in my middle age, I want to really settle down, work for one employer if possible, and just put my nose to the grindstone and just be fulfilled in life and work. That's great. And what then? I guess I'll retire, you know, get a little comfortable and do things I couldn't always do. Professor said, I understand that. That's good. What then? And the student said, well, I guess I'll die. Professor said, that's right. You know, that's really going to happen. And he said, and what then? And the student said, but I don't know. I don't think about that very much. And the professor said, young man, he said, go back and think life through. Think life through. Get that settled between you and God. And say, Jesus, you're my Lord. Because without you, I don't have life. You know, the Bible said, what was read, you have the Son, you have life. You don't have the Son, you don't have that life with God. Christ would be life to you. He's the resurrection and the life. And so put your trust in Him. And, boy, you'll be so thankful. You'll say, I know God's with me now. He'll be with me wherever I go. He'll take me to Himself in heaven. Jesus gives you that promise. Would you put your trust in Christ as we come to His table? Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the good news that Jesus is Lord, the good news that the gift of God is eternal life through Christ. And Lord, we come to You to be embraced by You this morning, to be at Your table, to remember Your death on the cross, You raising from the dead. And so take Your rightful place at communion, Lord, and in every heart here today. We pray for people having difficulties physically. Bless them with Your intervention and help. We pray for those serving in the military, that You'd keep them safe and bring them home to Yourself. We remember today, Father, people anticipating joyful times, Jennifer and David, to be married this next couple weeks. And we ask for Your help to be with Rachel Wilson, serving in Ethiopia, and soldiers, Lord, in Afghanistan. Hear our silent prayers as we come to You, and with the faith You would give us, say to our in our soul and by our actions, Jesus Christ is Lord. That's good news for us today. Hear us as we talk to You about You.